Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Bamusaf Samach Beis. We are on the Mishnah Samach Aleph and Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Bilon Zecher Nishmas Lo Zubin Zaltzman. We have a couple more Mishnahs to go in terms of eligibility of who a Kohen can and cannot marry. We did yesterday the Mishnah regarding a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol marries an Almana and then gets an appointment and he becomes a Kohen Gadol. So Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, so what is he to do? Well, if he did Kiddushin before the appointment, so he's good. He's got his wife, so he's allowed to take the position of Kohen Gadol. He's allowed to take his wife with him. The Mishnah told the story regarding Yehoshua ben Gamla, together with his wife, who the Gemara pointed out yesterday, just incidentally. Oh, by the way, she paid for his Kohen Gadol position. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, very good. Mishnah, we're at the next Mishnah. It's the second white line on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Kohen Gadol Shemes Echav Cholis Velom Yabim. Kohen Gadol dies, so the brothers does Chalitza, but does not do, the Kohen Gadol's brother dies. So so that means now the Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah of Yibum. The problem is that he's got a mitzvah of Yibum, but he also has got an Isser in the Torah. Here's a classic, perfect scenario where a person is faced with a mitzvah sesei and a mitzvah losase, a positive commandment of Yibum, and a negative prohibition of mana. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a mana. What is he to do? So the Mishnah says, the solution is very simple. You do chalitza. The Kohen Gadol is going to do chalitza, and he's not going to do Yibum. So the Gemara points out, Kapasik v'tanin lo shnamin erzim lo shnamin anisu, and this Gemara should sound familiar, because we saw this Gemara earlier in the Masechta. And that is, what if his brother died after Kiddushin? So that means now that the woman is still a Basula. And so, okay, now it would be a little bit better. It's a little bit better to marry her because now she's still a Basula, although she still has the label of Almana. The Gemara earlier made that very clear. But it's a little bit better. Look. If she became a widow after a Nisuin, so then the Kohen's eligibility to marry her is prevented by two prohibitions of the Torah. Number one, she's an Almana. Number two, she's not a Besula. So that's in a violation of both a Losase and an Ase. And as great as Yibum is, Yibum cannot conquer both of those. But let's suggest the following. Let us just simply remove the Besula issue, which meaning the husband died from Erisin. She's still a Besula, although she's an Almana. So what do we have now? We have an assay of the mitzvah of Yibum going against the Los assay of Almana. So what do you say about that? So the Gemara says, Gzera bi Rishona to be Ashniya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Gemara says, for the bi Rishona, you'd be absolutely right. Meaning for the first time that that he's me'abim her, that he has beer with her, so then correct, that the mitzvah sase would be overriding the lo sase. Problem is that after that point in time, he can't have beer with her anymore. Because every subsequent beer that he's going to have with her, there's no mitzvah of Yibum being accomplished, and yet, she's still going to be an almana. Now that's interesting, by the way. You hear what the Gemara just said? The Gemara just said that the mitzvah of Yibum is only for the first act of beer, not for any subsequent act. That's a little bit difficult to understand considering the fact that every time the mitzvah of Bia is being performed, there is going to be the mitzvah sasei of Yibum, and there's a lo sasei of Eshesach. So, meaning, I'm going to ask a question which we know there's an answer to. In other words, the question is too basic so that we know that there's an answer. We'll just formulate an answer. So how come we don't give this argument the Gemara just gave over here? Right, for any Yibum. Right, you have a mitzvah sase Yibum, but then she's Eshesach, and so because she's Eshesach, so it will only allow for the first act of Bia, but for no subsequent acts. And obviously, that's not true. So what do we? So how do we compare the general halacha of Yibum to this particular halacha over here? The answer is, we saw versions of this answer many times before in the Masechta, but we're just articulating now. The answer is because when the Torah says that a brother can marry his brother's wife, that's not a dichui, that's not just simply pushing off the Isser, that's a heter, it's heter gamur, meaning the classic language of hutra versus dichuya, right? That's the Torah says that's totally permissible, meaning there's no longer an Isser of Eshesach. Masha Enkin over here, there's no connection between she being an Amana and the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning she's an Amana. That's an external law of the Torah. So fine. So she's an amana. She'll continue to be an amana. Yes, it's true the mitzvah of Yibum is going to override, but just override. Meaning that's dichui. And the mitzvah of Yibum technically is only the first act of Biyah. After that point in time, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Everything after that is Ishus. So in the case of Eishes Ach, where the Isser was totally expunged and totally removed, so fine. So obviously the marriage can remain. Over here, the Yibum doesn't remove Amana. The Yibum just allows to push it away for the first act of Biyah. Okay. So the Gemara says that in theory you're right, but that's part of the Gzeira. Part of the Gzeira is that because it'll be too tempting to keep his wife, so therefore Chalitza from the beginning. Correct. Agreed. Because what Yibum can do is make him his wife. Yibum cannot do is remove the Isser of Almana. Yibum cannot redefine her. But Eishes Ach, Yibum does redefine her. Correct. In other words, right. Again, it goes back to that question that you asked, which I don't, I don't know how to formulate an answer. Although, I just simply, correct. That the Bia, right. Even if the Bia has no capability of producing a child, but that Bia creates the mitzvah of Yibum, and now we're saying that the first act of Bia is the actual mitzvah. Okay, good. Okay. Kohen Edge lo yisa eilanes ela im ken yeshlo isha ubanim. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to be our transition Mishnah. Today's daf is Samach Beis. Today's daf is all dedicated to the mitzvah Puru Ravu. This Mishnah is going to take us to that Mishnah. This Mishnah describes that a Kohen Hedjet, a regular Kohen, is not allowed to marry an Ilonis. Ilonis is a woman who just simply does not have the equipment to produce a child. She is, however you want to explain the anatomy, but it doesn't matter. In other words, anatomically, she's just simply not capable of having a child. She's described as an Ilonis. The word Ilonis, from the word aisle. All right, aisle is a male ram. So, okay, not the best way to describe a woman in of itself, but in our context, it just simply means she's incapable of having a child. So the Kohen Hedjet is not allowed to marry her, elim ken yesh lo isha ubanim, unless he has a wife and other children. In other words, because by marrying her, there's an expectation he's going to have children. Obviously, with her, he cannot have children, and he's being mevatel to the mitzvah peruvu. The obvious question, which the Gemara is going to raise, first question we're going to deal with is, why are we talking about a Kohen? This is correct. This is not a halacha regarding Kohanim. This is a halacha regarding everybody. Stay tuned as the Gemara is going to ask that question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Api Sheish Lo Isha Banim Lo Yisa Ilonis Shizona Amur B'Torah. And this is it, by the way. This is the answer. Even though the Gemara is going to say it, but I'll say it right now. This is the answer because it then takes us to the next point of the Mishnah, which is, Rabbi Yehuda's position is that even if she has a wife, and even if she has children, so still he's not allowed to marry an Ilonis. Why? Because by marrying an Ilonis, he's marrying a Zona. Okay, now that's interesting. That takes time to digest. Let's see more about that in the Gemara. So, v'chacham ha-mormi means on elegiros m'shuchars v'shin v'ala b'ilaz nos. And the Chachamim say, that's not a Zona. A Zona is somebody who either converts or a freed slave or she had a lascivious relationship. But an Ilonis in the context of marriage, that's not a Zona. Okay, so what we have in our Mishnah is a basic machlokas in terms of the definition of what a Zona is. Stay tuned on the Amud Beis, which we'll get to momentarily. We're going to have a full-blown machlokas. It's going to be one of the more interesting points where the Torah tells the Kohen that you're not allowed to marry a Zona, and what's the definition of a Zona? We'll have in the Amud Beis no less than 6 different opinions in terms of what the very definition of a Zona is. Okay, we already saw 2 of them in the Mishnah, but okay, stay tuned, we're going to get to that. Amalei Reish Galusa L'Rav Huna, starting with the Gemara, Maitaim HaMishom Periyav Rivya. So, what's behind the first psak of the Mishnah? You're not allowed to, Kohen's not allowed to marry an Islanders. Why not? Because he has to fulfill the mitzvah Peruvu. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. This is a mitzvah specific to Kohanim. It doesn't affect the rest of us. So Amalei Mishum Dekabai Limis Lasefa. You're right, says the Rav Huna. The conversation between Reish Galusa and Rav Huna. So you're right, says Rav Huna. Mitzvah for Rav Huna is for everybody. That's correct. What the Mishnah was doing was framing it from the perspective of Kohanim, because the Mishnah wanted to make its next point, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Pishi Ishlo Isha, V'yeshlo Banim Lo Yisa Ilnis, Shehi Zona Amor Betora, Da Zona Kohanim De Mifkidi V'Yisrael La Mifkidi, V'Shem HaKikita Nikalein. So Rav Huna's response to the Reish Galusa, the Mishnah is just setting us up for the next point, which is, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, an islandess is a zona. And because an islandess is a zona, so they can't marry her, aside from the issue of not having children, which is an important issue. But aside from that, also the Kohen is going to be violating the Isser in the Torah of a Kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. Kohen's prohibited from marrying. We're talking, again, we move away from Kohen Gadol. We're not talking about a Kohen Ejid, regular Kohen. Can't marry three women, a Chala, a Grusha, and a Zona. Those are three women that a Kohen cannot marry. So this island, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a Zona. So aside from the Peruvu issue, there's also an issue specific to Kohen.
Is the Gemara already assumed that the issue of the
Mitzvah? The Gemara later on will tell us that. The Gemara, right now we don't know it. Although, again, to learn Gemara, you have to know. But the Gemara later on will say it straight out. I understood, and yet she's a zona. But we already pointed out that when it comes to the definition of zona, passivity still will make her a zona. God, right? Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, a woman's raped. So for a Kohen, she's a zona. A convert. When she converts, is still going to be considered a zona. So the word zona, it does not, again, we'll get to six definitions of what zona is, but the way we generally view zona doesn't require an active action on her part to become a zona. So, agreed, right, correct, but we're talking about a status. In other words, we're not talking about an action, we're talking simply about a status. In terms of the status, so no, even a woman can get the status of Zona, even if, God forbid, she didn't have an active role in it. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, a very broad definition of a Zona, an islandess. A woman who's incapable of having children, she's a Zona. Now, what is that? So that's the Gemara's next question. So my time at the Rabbi Yehuda dichsev achlo v'yisbu is nuvelo yifritzu. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Hosea. The pasuk in Hosea describes that they eat, they're not satisfied. His nu, they act in a znus fashion v'lo yifritzu. Yifritzu from the word ufaratzta, same word. Ufaratzta, another, you will spread forth, you will procreate. So kol bia she'ein ba pirtza eino ela bila znus. Any time that the act of bia does not have a procreation element to it, it's not considered bia's kedusha, it's considered bia's nus. As a result of that, the woman, by definition, is a zona. So that is the explanation of the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Okay, again, the halacha we'll get to in just a moment. Right now, it's a shita. We're just learning the shita of Rav Yehuda. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Kohen Lo Yisase Ketana. Okay, the Gemara quotes the Braisa Ishita of Rabbi Eliezer, which, with no explanation whatsoever, Kohen is not allowed to marry Ketana. What's going on there? A Kohen is not allowed to marry Ketana. Ketana is a minor girl. Okay, now, we've discussed this time and again in Seder Nashim. We just get used to it. And that is that a minor girl can get married. There's no problem with that whatsoever. What about the fact that she doesn't have das? Her father will marry her off. And if she doesn't have a father, her brother will marry her off. Her mother will marry her off. So the idea that her getting married is not... In Seder Nashim, that's fine. That works. So why can't a Kohen marry Ketana? So Amalei Rav Chista L'Rabba Poka Ein Ba. So Rav Chista says to Rabba, okay, giving you homework. Okay, look at this Braisa. Go home tonight, and your homework tonight is figure out this Braisa. So Poka Ein Ba Delorta Baila Rav Huna Minach. Because what's going to happen is that you get to the evening. And Rav Huna is going to ask from you what's going on in this Braisa. So I'm telling you right now, I'm setting you up, you're going to be asked this question, how do you understand the Braisa? And so go home and research. Nafagayin Ba, Rabbi Eliezer, Nafagayin Ba. So he went home, he did an investigation, and Rabbi Eliezer, Savalak Rabbi Meir, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. In order to arrive at this conclusion in Rabbi Eliezer, that a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Ketana, so what he surmised is that Rabbi Eliezer holds like two shitas. In other words, basically, it's a blend of two shitas together. The shita of Rabbi Yehuda together with the shita of Rabbi Meir. So here we go. Step one. Step one is that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that, generally speaking, we view a statistical minority as we dismiss it. Meaning, if it's a mute, so generally speaking, the way we live life, the way we conduct ourselves halachically, the mute is ignored, a statistical minority. However, Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Meir is koshesh lemiuta. He's worried about the minority.
What?
Okay.
What's the
Vistavra like Rabbi Yehuda Damar Ali Zonahi? So, and on top of that, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that an island is a zona. Most girls, when they grow up, will be able to bear children. There are a small minority of girls who, when they grow up, are not going to be able to bear children. So, generally speaking, in terms of halacha, how do you proceed going forward? You work with the rov. You work with the statistical majority. That's generally speaking. Rabbi Meir is worried about the minority, and now she can be an islandist. And Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda that an islandist is a zona, and so that's why a kohen cannot marry a katana.
So based on Rabbi Meir's concern, nobody should ever get married.
Nobody should get married. Meaning,
yeah, because there's always
if a non-kohen. Okay, but if non-kohen marries an islandist, that's not an isser. Meaning he'll marry another wife, or he'll, in other words, there are ways to have children. And again, the woman's not obligated in the mitzvah peruvah, the man is.
No, I fine. But he is concerned about the possibility that the man is going to end up in an alien.
I understand. For regular Yisrael, it's not an isser.
No, not for Cohen.
It's not an isser for Yisrael to marry an islandist.
I thought it was an isser.
No.
Just for Cohen?
Because an islandist is his owner. The Torah prohibits a Kohen from marrying a Zona. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, an islandist is a Zona. So that's an Isser.
I thought the question was, how can a Kohen marry anybody?
There's an assumption over here that we know that there are external simanim that a woman is an Alice, but those external simanim are not going to be demonstrated until she grows up. That's the Gemara's assumption. As a katana, there's no external signs of what she will be. That's part of the Gemara's assumption. Okay, the Gemara says The Gemara says, hold on one second. In order to arrive at this conclusion, so we needed two opinions to put together, to blend together in order to arrive at this conclusion. The Gemara says, but wait one second. First of all, I'm telling you that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir. So that's, in other words, it was two steps. The Gemara is going to deconstruct both steps. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir because let's learn a mission together. Ve'atanya. Katan katana lo chotzim lo miyavnin div Rabbi Meir. So a katan a katana cannot do chalitza, nor can they do yibum. In other words, a woman was married. She got married as a katana. Her husband died, and she's left now with her brother-in-law. And it happens to be, in this particular scenario, they're both katana. They're both minors. So Rabbi Meir says, okay, at this point in time, just nothing can happen right now. We're going to have to wait till everyone grows up. Fine. Amar lo Rabbi Meir, yafa amar shein cholzen. Now, as far as chalitza is concerned, they say to Rabbi Meir, congratulations, you're right. So ish ksiba parsha, makshin and isha leish. So as far as chalitza is concerned, the Torah demands that he be an adult. So fine. Elamai time ain miyabim, but yibim, I don't understand. Why not yibim? Again, we're not talking socially, emotionally, psychologically. We're just talking halachically. Why not yibum? Amalei katan shemi yimatzei sris katan shemi timatzei alanis. V'nim su pogim be'erva. So he says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that the man, as far as his boy is concerned, he may become a sris. As far as the girl is concerned, she may become an alanis. And that
he's not mitzvah to be yibum anyways. He's a minor.
There will be a mitzvah yibum, meaning.
But it doesn't apply to me. He's a minor.
Yeah, I understand. But it's a simple projection that he's going to grow up, and it's and
at this point he's going to be before.
The mitzvah of yibum doesn't require kavana, doesn't require das. Okay, so v'tanya ketanim yabim ve'ena cholsos div Rabbi Eliezer, and pogim be'erva v'tanya, and on this brisa ketanim yabim ve'ena cholsos div Rabbi Eliezer, and it happens to be that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that yibum can actually be accomplished. What do you see from over here? That Rabbi Eliezer is not choshesh lemiuta, because Rabbi Eliezer allows a minor to do the mitzvah of yibum, not worry that maybe when they grow up they're going to become a stris or an islandist. That's a Rabbi Meir concern. That's choshesh lemiuta. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't subscribe to that. So that's number one. So part of our deconstruction of explaining Rabbi Huna, I'm sorry, explaining Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar doesn't subscribe to our Meir Shita. One. Point number two. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Misar Valavatanya. And he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda in terms of what the definition of a zona is. The Gemara here presents a brisa. Here it is. Here's the brisa that gives us 6 different opinions in terms of what the very definition of a zona is. Vatanya. Zona kishma div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi, yes. Yeah. The zona is kishma. Meaning, what's a zona? A zona is a zona. Now, I understand. I'm also laughing. Correct. We're trying to give a definition, and the Gemara says, you know, the first opinion, the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, which, by the way, as we'll see in just a moment, it's clear that it doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So the, you know what a zona is? A zona is a zona. Okay. It's kind of like, yeah, you know when you see it. Okay, zona is a zona.
It means not an island.
I understand that. That's what I get it. That's what he's saying.
Right.
But what is it? What does that mean? What does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. So thankfully, so Rashi explains what zona kishma lashon toa. The word zona means to stray. Says Rashi. Shetoa mitachas bala la acherim del Rabbi Eliezer ein zona ela eshes ish. So Rashi, you got it immediately. Rashi, an explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, says, you know what the definition of a zona is? A woman who, while being married, strayed from her husband. That, and only that, is the definition of a zona. Rabbi Kiva, Omer, zona zu mufkeres. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the definition of zona is a woman who is mufkeres. Mufkeres means she's available to anyone who wants. Rashi, ve'afilu pinuya. There doesn't have to be a marriage element in terms of defining what a zona is. If she has one premarital act of relations, that doesn't make her a zona, according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, but once she makes herself open, available to whomever she wants, I don't know the number, it doesn't specify, but at that point in time, she's a zona. Rabbi Masi ben Charash Omar fil halach bala lashkosa u bala b'der chasa zona. Rabbi Masi ben Charash is the third opinion in the Braisa, says that even if a woman has relations with her husband, but it is a non-sanction, or let's say a little stronger, it's illicit relations with her husband, she's going to be a zona. For example, let's say she secludes herself with a man after being warned not to be with that man, otherwise known as she's a sota. And now her husband's taking her to the base of mikdash to drink. And rude to the base of mikdash, she has relations with her. He's not allowed to have relations with her. He does so anyway. At that point in time now, she becomes a zona. Even though she had relations with her husband, still. And if the Torah prohibits the act of relations, by definition, she's a zona. Rav Yehuda Amar zona zu islandis. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that zona is an islandis. That's opinion number four. So and by the way, we already knew that. That's what our mission taught us. Good. We have a corroboration of the Braisa. And the Chachamim say that a zona is either a convert or a meshuchereres, a woman who was freed. She was a shivcha kananis, or she had a beilas znus. That's the definition of a zona. And finally, the final opinion in terms of what the definition of a zona is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Okay? Not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer. And I know the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer, which adds to the confusion, but it's not. It's Rabbi Elazar. It can't be Rabbi Eliezer because that was the first opinion in the Braisa. We have to make some way of contrasting the first and the last opinion. And the last opinion of the Braisa is Rabbi Elazar Omer, Panuya Ba Panuya, Shalol Hashem Ishus Asazona. That if a single man and a single woman have relations, and it wasn't for the purpose of marriage, it was just simply to fulfill their Yetzahara, satisfy their Yetzahara, so that is by definition makes her a zona. That is the sixth and, I don't know to say the most machmir, but a very strict interpretation of what a zona is. Here's now the problem. I know, Eddie, you're waiting. I'll keep you waiting only a little bit longer. I apologize. But but here's the problem right now. We have a Rebbe Eliezer Shita which says that a kohen cannot marry a katana. We tried to formulate a theory in terms of why it is that a kohen cannot marry a katana. So we had the theory of Rav Chista, who said that, Rav Chista commissioned Rabba to come up with a theory, and Rabba said, Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir, Choshesh Lamiyuta, And this katana may grow up into an islandess, and Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda that an islandess is a zona. That was our theory in terms of explaining Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says you're wrong on point number one and you're wrong on point number two. Rabbi Eliezer does not worry about Rabbi Meir Shita of Choshes Lemiyuta, and furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's definition of what a zona is. An islandess is not a zona, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now, we're left just wondering, so why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, can a Kohen not marry Katana? So the Gemara is going to offer three explanations. Four explanations. Ella Amar V'Ada Bar Ava Acha B'Kohen Gadol Askinan La'emas Kani La L'chi Gadla. So Be'ulehi. So explanation number one, we're not talking about a regular Kohen, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. And the problem is that with regarding the Kohen Gadol, so when is he Kona her? When is he, quote-unquote, acquire her? So that's only when she grows up. And when she's grown up, what's the problem? She's not a Besula anymore. Now, granted, of course, he's the cause of her not being a Besula. But okay, but the mitzvah and the Torah is for the Kohen Gadol to marry a Besula. So I'm a Rava. So Rava hears this explanation, and Rava's reaction, Michli Lev. I don't know what those words mean, but Rashi says it's like saying Mibli Lev, meaning without any understanding whatsoever. This is not it's a strong reaction. Rava says this is not a good pshat. I understand. When she got married as a katana, if there was a father and he accepted the kedushin, so that's that's it. We're done. That's the marriage. And dekacha nafsha, Rabbi Eliezer hivelo rabbanan. So the Gemara says, and if she was mekadesh herself, meaning if there was no father, so then what are we doing? We're limiting ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We're not. Well, I mean, when it says herself, it means. Her brother, okay, but Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo rabbanan, meaning now what? Now this will be an opinion specific to Rabbi Eliezer. Of course not. Meaning at this point in time, we're all going to agree that the marriage isn't sanctioned yet. She now is only going to get married min haTorah at the point when she grows up, when she becomes a nara, bogeres, and at that point in time, she's not a besula. That's funny. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that would be everybody. That you'd be universal. So one explanation the Gemara gave in terms of we're not talking about a Kohen, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol, and he can't marry Katana because that'll render her a Ba'ul at the time of marriage. Rava says, I'm just not buying this Peshat. Elam Rava, so the Gemara says, now a second Peshat. La'olam b'Kohen Ejev v'Cheshin Hashem Tispate Alav. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a Kohen, a regular Kohen. And the problem is that when he marries a Katana, so because she's not, her mind is not developed yet, so she's very easily seducible, and she may get seduced by another man. So the Gemara says, "Yachi sol nami." So the Gemara says, "Okay, if you're worried about her being seduced by another man, she's young, she's vulnerable." So the Gemara says, "Pitui katana oni." I'm sorry. So why not? So why is this concern only limited to a Kohen? So the Gemara says, "Because pitui katana oni zu onis biso mishra shari." But the Gemara says, "But you know the answer, because when it comes to pitui katana, so there is no seduction when it comes to a minor. It's like in our country, what's called statutory rape." Meaning, even when she when she consents, it's not consent. So when it comes to a pitui katana, as it relates to a girl married to a Yisrael, okay, she was raped, but that doesn't prohibit it to her husband. As it relates to a woman married to a Kohen, so any act of relations outside of her marriage is, by definition, renders her a zona, makes it prohibited to her husband, like we discussed a couple of days ago, so that's why it's a problem.
So according to his opinion, Rift was raped by Yisrael.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with that conclusion, but well, actually, the Rivka is coming up later today. Okay, Rav Papa Amar Bekohen Gadol Haitana Uditanya. Come right now, he's going to give a second or third. Okay, just because Rav Ada Bava was dismissed, so the Gemara is going to give a third explanation now in terms of why Kohen can't marry a Kitana. Once again, we're back to the Kohen Gadol. The Rabbi Eliezer was describing the Kohen Gadol Haitana Uditanya Besula. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula. Yachol Kitana Tamala Meisha. On one hand, I might think it's a Kitana. So the Gemara says that's why the Torah says Isha. She has to be a woman. Isha Yachol Bulgaris. I might have thought it should be a Bulgaris Tamala or Besula. So it should be a Besula. And like we said, because what happens is that when a girl starts growing up, after she leaves the stage of Nairus and she enters into the stage of Bagrus, so she still has a Besulim, but it's a little faced. So it's not a, she's not a full Besula. So Arkeid said, "Yes, mechalakat nusar chalabagus lobata." So who should the Kohen Gadol marry? Nara. A Nara who is on one hand she's an Isha, she's a woman. On the other hand, she's still a Bistula in the fullest sense of the word. So that Kohen Gadol should marry a Nara. By the way, parenthetically, I know, Hadi, I owe you one answer, but parenthetically, the Rambam agrees with this Braisa. The Rambam says that when you're the Kohen Gadol, so you should marry a Nara. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Haitanu Hudetanya. Rav Nachman Yitzchak is going to give now a fourth explanation of what Rabbi Eliezer means when he says that a Kohen must marry a Kohen cannot marry Katana. Haitanu Hudetanya Bistula Hi Bistula El Nara. Ein Bistula El Nara. It's really the same point, but the Bistula by definition is an Nara V'cheinu Amar V'hanara Tovas Mare Ma'od Bistula. And she was very beautiful. She was a Bistula. That's a description of Rivka. Parenthetically, I know we're all trained in Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says that she was 3 years of age. Okay, good. Now you know Gemara Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph. That does not agree with the Rashi and Chumash. Now I understand. Well, what's 12. Right? The Gemara over here says that she was 12. Right, even though Rashi and Chumash says that she was 3. Okay, Rashi. Rashi doesn't make original points. Rashi is bringing down Midrashim. Right, Rashi is citing a Medrash. The Medrash is arguing with our Gemara. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer Omer.
Which one goes?
This is a Medrash discussion. So it's a fair question, just Midrashim argue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Panu Abba Panu Yashol Shem Isha Sos Azona. And now finally we come back to the definition of a Zona. And the Gemara over here says, it's funny, what is the definition of a Zona? We just saw the Braisa with 6 opinions in terms of what the definition of a Zona is. So, Hedy and the rest of us also, right? This should be primary in our mind when learning, right? A conclusion, who do we follow like? So it's funny, watch what the Gemara does. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Panu, Abba Panu, Yashol, Shemisha, Sasazona, Amar of Amram, Ein Halacha, Karebi, Al-Lazar. Okay, so the Halacha is not like Rabbi Al-Lazar. That's clear. I also, right, correct. I'm in agreement. Meaning, so we have 6 opinions, so knock out 1. Okay, good. We're down to 5. It is interesting why the Gemara is dismissing this opinion as not halacha when truth of the matter is there's now 5 other opinions to choose from and it's not, the Gemara is not issuing a ruling. All the Gemara is just simply doing is trimming down the number of opinions that we now are open to candidacy in terms of what the halacha follows like.
With the other 5, wouldn't you say that Rabbanu's opinion was expansive and could include all the others in it?
You could say that. Again, we're not going to spend the time, but you could really spend the time trying to figure out cases where one agrees with one and one wouldn't agree with the other. You're right. Is there an opinion that collectively includes everyone else? Okay. Again, you spend time. Anyway, they're right. The Rambam writes that this I did look up. The Rambam writes that the opinion expressed in our Mishnah, the Chachamim's opinion, which in the Braisa is also the Chachamim, is that a Zona is only a Gioris, a Meshacharis, a convert, or a freed slave, or a woman who had a Be'ilas Nus, who had an illicit act of relations.
Not
an Islandist. No. That's Rabbi Eliezer's viewpoint. Sorry. That's Rabbi Yehuda's viewpoint. Okay, I'm going back when the Gemara tried to conflate the two. That's Rabbi Yehuda's viewpoint, and we don't subscribe to that view. Okay. Takes us to today's daf on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis, and here we begin. Begin a discussion that is extraordinarily enjoyable. See, this is the Gemara's about the mitzvah Peruvu. These Gemara's about Peruvu will continue for a couple of days. It'll be extraordinarily enjoyable Gemara's the basic mitzvah. One of the topics we'll be discussing in the course of today's daf is, does the mitzvah Peruvu apply to everyone, meaning not just Jew, but non-Jew as well? Stay tuned as we're going to address that question, but first the basic issues. Lo yivata adam epir yavirivya. Ela im ken yesh lo banim. So when can a person say, okay, I'm gonna stop being involved in the mitzvah Peruvu? So the Gemara says that's when he has children. And after having children, the Mishnah doesn't explain yet how many children he needs to have, but when he has children, only at the point where he has children can he then excuse himself from the mitzvah of Peruvu. Beit Shammai Omrim, Shnei Zecharim. So we have machlokas in the Mishnah between Beisham and Beisol in terms of what is the basic minimum number of children you need to have in order to excuse yourself from the mitzvah of Peruvu. So Beisham says two male children. And Beisol Omrim, Zachar Unikeva. Shenema Zachar Unikeva Baram. And Beisol says male and female. You need to have a male child and a female child. And the Pasuk says Zachar Unikeva Baram. And Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So what did he do? He created a male and a female. So what are we supposed to do? Imitate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we too are to create a male and a female. Now I know it's a discussion the Gemara does not have. The Gemara assumes that the gender of the child can pretty much be influenced by the parents. Okay, I know in my short lifetime I've seen many parents attempt to try to, you know, lean into a particular direction of gender. Okay, the Gemara does have advice in terms of how to identify and in terms of how to influence what the gender is going to be. I think we're going to get to that later on. But anyway, but okay, leave that aside. Meaning, I know it's not an unimportant point, but just it's not going to be discussed. And right now, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Hayesh labanim epiriv rivi abatam isha labatam. So the Gemara says, look, after you have children, meaning you have the basic number, bare minimum, either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. And by the way, we're going to have different versions of what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say. So it's a machlokas, and then it's going to be one of those machlokas about what the machlokas actually is. That's coming up later on. But what from the Mishnah, however, the Gemara makes a reading of the Mishnah, which is, what should you stop doing? Stop having children. But from the Mishnah, what should you not stop doing? Don't stop being married. Meaning, even after you fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, and however, I understand contraception is also not being discussed right now in the Gemara, but however you decide that you're not going to have any more children, but you shouldn't stop being married. The Gemara says, correct. So just because you have a lot of children, and so therefore at that point in time you could say, okay, I'm done, but don't not be married. Sorry about all the negatives. But in other words, Kim, you don't want to have more children? Fine. You don't want to be married? That's not fine. You should remain married. It's not good. It's not good for a man to be by himself. A man should maintain the marriage even after having children. The Gemara gives a second reason, a second opinion, which is that after you fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, that's it. So you can bow out of the mitzvah peruvu, and you can bow out of marriage as well. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, now, are we refuting Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, which says, lo tov lios adam levado? I mean, he doesn't say that, the Torah says that. But he uses that pasuk to indicate that a man should always be married. So the Gemara says, lo, ein labanim no se isha bas banim. Yesh labanim no se isha delav bas banim. So the Gemara says, no. Truth of the matter is that a man should always be married. Okay? Referencing back to the pasuk of lo tove yos adam levado. Man should always be married. In terms of the mitzvah peruvu, so that'll determine what kind of woman he's going to marry. In other words, if he already has children, and for whatever reason he's without a wife, so what he should do is he should marry, but he doesn't have to marry a woman that can have children. Okay, if the woman is incapable of having children, that's fine, but he should be married. If he doesn't have children, so then the woman he should choose is a woman who is a childbearing woman. So nafkamina limkor sefer Torah bishvil banim. The Gemara points out what the practical difference would be, is that if he has children, so then he doesn't have to go through such extremes like, for example, selling a Sefer Torah. The Gemara Megillah, I know it's not that long ago, we were doing the Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah says you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. And remember, you can only go up in Kedusha, you can't go down in Kedusha. So you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, but the Gemara Megillah says, but if it's for the purposes of Lima Torah or marriage, so you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. So what the Gemara says over here is that if you don't have children, so you're going to get married anyway. That it's the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel's rule of marriage being important, it's important. But the difference is that once you fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, so then you don't have to go out, you don't have to do go through extra measures of finding a woman who's going to help you bear children, i.e. sell a Sefer Torah. Okay. Beishamay Armim Shnei Zechariah, my time in the Beishamay Yafinim Moshe. Gemara over here is going to give explanations. As far as Beishamay's position that you need to have two sons, so the Gemara says, learn from Moshe. Dechziv, B'nei Moshe Gershom Ve'Eliezer. Moshe had two sons. Moshe then separated from his wife. What did that show us? He fulfilled the mitzvah of Peruvu. Obeisil Yafinim B'Briyasu Sha'olam, and Beisil says, we learn it from creation. Beishamay, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man and a woman. We are supposed to create a male and a female. Ubeishamay Lelfil Mibriyasu Sha'olam. And Beishamay says, why not learn now from creation? Ain done in Efshar Mishei Efshar. You cannot use creation as baseline for the mitzvah of Peruvu. Because how else was HaKadosh Baruch Hu supposed to do it? Meaning, the world needs to propagate. Kadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to make a male and a female. Otherwise, there'd be no propagation of the planet. So fine. But that doesn't mean then that we necessarily have to follow that viewpoint because, again, the Gemara is assuming we do have a choice. Now, why doesn't Beis Hillel learn from Moshe? Moshe separating from his wife, that was instruction by God. He arrived at that conclusion that he should separate from his wife. Now, it is true he got a pat on the back by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing so, but it was his option. So you can't learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Did tell him the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. Famous Braisa, we saw this back in Masechta Shabbos. Shlosha Dvarim, Moshe Midato, V'Iskim Adato, L'Das HaMakom. Moshe did three things on his own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up agreeing. Pirish Men Isha, Shibar Luchos, Rosef Yom Echad. Separated from his wife, broke the luchos, and added one day to the Shloshes Yimei Agbala, which, as we'll see in just a moment, originally was Shnei Yimei Agbala. Let's go through three of these quickly. This is review. Pirish Meneisha Mai Darish Amar Ma Yisrael Shelo Dibre Imam Shchina El Lefisha VeKabbalam Zman Amar Torah Al Tikshu El Isha. So the Jewish people who were about to have an appointment with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Mamad Ar Sinai, and all the Jewish people that are separate from their wives, Anish Miyucha Ladiba B'choshav V'shah. I have appointment with a Kadosh Baruch Hu at all times. V'lo Kavali Zman, and I don't even know when it's going to happen. Al Achas Kama V'chama. How much more so should I separate from my wife? V'iskim Adato Adas Hamakum Shenemar. Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe's conclusion. Lech Emor Lam Shuvah Lechem Lo Lechem V'atapo Amodi Madi. Tell everyone else to go back to their wives. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay with me. She bears the luchos. Moshe broke the luchos. My darish amar ma pesach shu echad mishesh meosu shloshes mitzvos amar Torah. The Karban Pesach is one, just about one of 613 mitzvos in the Torah. And meanwhile, called ben echal lo echal bo. And meanwhile, we know the parshas bo. The Torah says that if you have someone who's a ben echal, someone who is not on board with the Yiddishkeit, so he cannot participate in Karban Pesach. So, HaTorah Kula V'Yisrael Mumara Ka'alachas Kama V'Kama. And here we have the Jewish people being Ovid of Avodah Zarah, which is tantamount to every Aver in the Torah. So, if they're not on board, so if they're excused from Karban Pesach, they're for sure going to be excused from Kol HaTorah Kula. V'Yiskim Adato Adas HaMakom, and once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, Dechziv Asher Shibarta V'Amar Yish Lakish, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Yashar Kochachar Shishibarta. Okay, he gave him a Yashar Koach. So the Torah, when it's describing, here's a number of days that you need to prepare for Maimon Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says 2 days. So what did Moshe logically conclude? So Hayom Kimachar, meaning what's tomorrow? Tomorrow is going to be a full 24-hour day. So Ma Machar Leilo Imo, Af Hayom Leilo Imo. So that means that today should also be 24-hour day. Problem is, half the day already went by. Moshe received this instruction in the morning. So the night already went by. So, So therefore, Moshe concluded it should be two full 24-hour days. So therefore, Moshe only started counting the next day as day one, and the day after that is day two, and hence we have Shloshes Yimei Hagbala, 3 days of preparation. And so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yeshar Koach, and Maimon Har Sinai took place on Shabbos. Okay. Now, all this was, we already saw back in Masechta Shabbos. Tanya. We're in the middle of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, and now continuing in the Gemara regarding the mitzvah for Revu, we're going to have now two more versions of the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Our Mishnah says, what's the minimum number of children you need to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Peruvu? Our Mishnah taught us, Beis Shammai says, two male, and Beis Hillel says male and female. Rabbi Natanya, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Beis Shammai Omer, Mishnei Zachar, Mishnei Nekevos, U Beis Hillel Omer, Zachar, Unekeva. Rabbi Nasan says that according to Beis Shammai, Shnei Zachar, Mishnei Nekevos, two male and two female, four children in total. And Beis Hillel Omer, Zachar, Unekeva, and Beis Hillel says male and female. So this Brizer Rabbi Nasan has Beis Shammai a little different than our Mishnah. Beis Hillel is still the same. I'm Ravuna my time at the Rabbi Nasan Alibit the Beis Shammai Dechsev. What's behind the position of Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Nasan? The pasuk says Vatosev Lades Esachiv Es Hevel Hevel VaAchoso Kain VaAchoso. Notice the S is a ribui, meaning it's not just Kain, it's not just Hevel, but a twin sister was born with each one of them. So that means four in total. Uksiv Kishas Le'elokim Zerachir Tachas Hevel Ki Hargu Kain. And how do we know that this is so, that four is a basic number? Because look, after Cain killed Hevel, and now, Chava had three, what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Gave her one more, to get her back to the number of four. So you see that four is a basic number. That is Beit Shammai. I told you recently, right, I saw this in Emes Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's a great chiddush. It's a chiddush. He says that what was normal from Adam and Chava for many generations to come is that they had twins, male and female. That was normal. And he says that's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes. That's why when Rivka had the twins, so the first one came out the boy, the second one came out was a boy, and for Rivka she was totally I'm not expecting that. Right, vihine. That's the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says. That's why the pasuk says, right, it was a total surprise. Like, wow, what was that? Okay, v'rabanan, back to the Gemara. V'rabanan do it dekamodis, and so and the Chachamim say no. Chava wasn't saying, you know, Baruch, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the fourth child again so that I fulfill the mitzvah peruvu. All she was saying was just simply thank you. Okay, Tanya Idach, we have another brisa. Rabbi Nasan Omer Beis Shammai Omer Zachar Unekeva Beis Hillel Omer O Zachar O Unekeva. A third opinion in terms of the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Nasan, Beis Shammai says male and female, and according to Beis Hillel, one would be sufficient. Amar Rav Amai Tamid Rabbi Nasan Alib the Beis Hillel Shenemar Oto Bara LaShevis Yitzar VaHaAvid LeShevis. So behind this explanation, so Beis Hillel says that you only need a child. Why? Because the purpose of Puru Ravu is to simply propagate the world. You have a child, even one, right? You settle the world. You're settling the world. Okay. Itmar. Hayulobanim b'ayos ha'ovei kochamim in izgaya. Okay, we're going to have two basic debates between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Let's start today by doing number one, and let's at least be only one number behind. The first question they're going to be dealing with today is, what happens for a couple who were not Jewish, had children, and they convert with their children? Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of Pur Urivu? Rav Yochanan says yes, ki in Pur Urivya. Reish Lakish Amar lo ki in Pur Urivya. Okay, that's the big question. Right now we're going to say yes, and you'll see why it will. The yes is going to be supported by the Gemara coming up. Rav Yochanan Amar Kim Pira Rivya Da Avale. So Rav Yochanan says, look, let's take a summary sheet of what just happened. Did they have children? Yes. Good. They fulfilled the mitzvah per Ravu. I know it's not a fancy argument, but it's okay. It'll work. Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kim Pira Rivya. And Reish Lakish says, no, they did not have children. Biologically they had children. Genetically they had children. But halachically they didn't. Why? Because we go back to a comment that's very popular here in Yevamos. Gershon is Garka Kanshin El Adami. Because we know that when you convert, you're born again. You're a totally new entity. And as a result of that, your children are not your children. Again, biologically, genetically, they're your children. Halachically, they're not. And so therefore, you want to fulfill the mitzvah per Ravu, so you're going to have children again after the conversion. V'azlo tamar din ma'ayu lo banim be'yosov v'kocham nizgai Rabbi Yochanan ein lo b'chor l'nachala. Rabbi Yochanan has another halacha, which actually is complementary to the first point that he made. Let's say immediately after you had children, while being a non-Jew, and you convert, and you have more children. that child you have after the conversion, that's not your bechor, because you had your bechor already. Good. So no. And what's Reish Lakish's position? No. The first child that comes out after conversion is your Bechor. Even though biologically that may not be your first child, as a Jew, that's your first child. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. Now, truth of the matter is that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are being consistent. In fact, what's the point of making both of these points when all they're doing is just being consistent? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Right? Here the Gemara says it. That prior to the conversion, they also were commanded in the mitzvah Puruvu. Okay. But on the front of Yerusha and Nachala, maybe after conversion, maybe the Nachala is totally reset. Even though they fulfilled the mitzvah Puruvu. Maybe then Rav Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish. And also we could reverse the arguments as well. Meaning, as opposed to Nachla, where Reish Lakish would say you hit the reset button after conversion. But maybe he would agree to Rav Yochanan that if they fulfill the mitzvah Puruvu. Utsricha, therefore it's necessary. Okay. Let's just finish up. Eisrei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish beisa ishalach baladam. I'm sorry, baradcha baladam ben baladam melach bavel. Okay, you see a non-Jews, king of Bavel, and being connected to their parents. Amrle biyo some of the kochavim islu chayes nizgai releislu chayes. So Reish Lakish will tell you, good, while being not Jewish, good, they have a connection to their parent. But after conversion, again, they're born against. As far as an Eved Kenani is concerned, no lineage. Right? Eliezer is described as a chamor, again, in context. It just means he has no yichus. What about Siva? Who had? Siva was the slave of Shaul. And he had 15 children and 20 slaves himself. Kipar ben Bakar. Okay, fine. That just means genetically that he had children. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Bil Adan Pasuk, actually naming his father, that's Yichus. El ben Hadad, ben Tavrimon, ben Chazion, Melech Aram, Hayoshev b'Dameshek, Lemor, and also we have other pasukim that connect him to the father, to the grandfather. In other words, it's clear that for the non-Jewish world in general, there's yichus. For Eved Kenani, no yichus. Okay, stop here.